Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Carl Jung said the meeting of two personalities is like the contact of two chemical substances. If there is any reaction, both are transformed. Well, you can kind of get a hint of what today's show is going to be about. It's going to be about conflict. I want to thank you for joining me today. I'm your host, medical intuitive Carol Reitberger. And the topic of today's show is actually an excerpt from my book, Love, What's Personality Got to Do With It? And the topic is, how do we stay belly to belly when we don't see eye to eye? Anyone who's ever experienced conflict can tell you that it's a major emotional distressor and instantaneously changes the nature of our relationships and how we interact with each other. So I think it's going to be a very enlightening show and a show that's going to add a little bit of dimension, different dimension to conflict, because I'm going to be looking at it through from the perspective of personality. And then also, of course, as a medical intuitive, what does conflict actually do to our physical body? And when I'm going to be covering that, it isn't about those the conflict that we have that is literally just once in a while. It's that chronic conflict that happens when two personalities who are opposite of each other come together, that love is blind syndrome kind of melts away, and then all of a sudden the things that we didn't see about our relationship when we were in that courting stage or that exciting stage all of a sudden becomes those minor irritations, and then ultimately one day could create these conflicts that just seem like they are conflicts that we can't either deal with, or we just want to say whatever, or they can actually destroy a relationship. So, you know, that old cosmic sense of humor that opposites attract really does have a lot of truth to it. But on the downside, over the course of time, those opposites can really create a lot of potential for conflict. So I'm going to be talking a little bit about how each personality color looks at conflict. And then again, like I said, on your health, if you don't know your personality color, you don't know whether you're red, orange, yellow, or green, you can actually go to my website, www.Reitberger, R-I-T-B-E-R-G-E-R.com. I have an icon there that says personality. Click on it. It's a very mini version of my full version of my assessment, which is on my books, What Colors Your Personality Got to Do With It, Your Personality, Your Health, Love, What's Personality Got to Do With It, and Managing People, What's Got to Do With It. But this little mini assessment that's on my website will give you a starting place to discover your personality color. And there's actually a description of each of the four colors on the website itself. So it's a good place to start. And then, of course, if you want to know more and you want to actually take the full version of the assessment itself, and that way you really get a very clear, identifiable understanding of what your color is, then of course you can go to my books. So the books are available through hayhouse.com or amazon.com. So what you might also find in that process is that you may find that while you're going through and discovering your personality color, you're going to start seeing a lot of the behavior of the personality color of the person that you're living with. And then also you may start to see that all the family isn't the same color. I was telling Rebecca before I started the show that I have a red father and I have a red sister. I have a green brother and a green mother, and I'm a yellow. And I spend my time trying to mediate or trying to negotiate the aspects, not a peacemaker, but just like, you know, can we talk to each other? And I just realized, I was telling Rebecca, I've been doing this for so many years, and I realized the other day that, you know, they really aren't having conflict the way my personality sees it. They have a difference of opinions, that's for sure. But you know what? They're going to get over it, because the reds say what they need to say and the greens say what they need to say. They all get over it, but me as a yellow hangs on to it, and I just want to keep solving problems. And the reality, I came with realization the other day, they may not even see it as a problem. So I think you'll find it an interesting show. I'm also going to be taking your calls and sharing my medical intuitive skills with you. So if you have a question for me about your health, or you want to talk about your relationship, I invite you to call me at 877-230-3062. When we look at conflict, we really need to look at it as kind of what I call an insidious process, that once we actually activate the conflict, it seems to take a life of its own. And if you pay attention to what causes conflict in your relationship, you'll begin to discover those consistent triggers that are also predictable And it may be around sex or money or friends or responsibility or child or jobs, whatever it is. And it's interesting because what I find when I was doing my research for the book is that when I did the research, most people thought that the number one conflict within a relationship was sex. And then the second one was money. But the reality of it is the greatest conflict in a relationship is that people stop talking to each other. So again, you have to look for those triggers and you have to look for those consistent, predictable signs. The conflict process actually begins as a simple annoyance. It leads to a misunderstanding. And if it's not resolved at the point that it's a misunderstanding, it evolves into a disagreement. When it becomes a disagreement, there's a tendency to stop talking because now what we're dealing is we're dealing with emotions and hurt feelings. Both people feel compromised, and what has occurred is that the conflict, that little bit of annoyance as it escalates, becomes really a power struggle. And then when it becomes a power struggle, then it's no longer trying to create a win-win situation outcome. What it is it reaches a point where one person believes they're going to win and the other's going to lose. Now, the opposite side of that is the other person believes they're going to win and the other person is going to lose. So again, what occurs when it reaches that point and you realize that you're probably not going to be able to convince or manipulate or whatever tool you may use in conflict, anger, rage, hostility, you know, throwing something as some people may do, or physical activity, which is again the throwing of something, what you're going to do is it's like, well, why even bother? There's that mechanism inside of us. And then what you do is you stop talking. If we were to look at the definition of conflict, we'd understand that when it arises, we'll understand why it's so hard for us to avoid it. Means argument or evidence in opposition, and flict means to derive con means argument or evidence in opposition, and flict is actually derived from the word, which means to strike out or impose. Well, once we go through that definition, it's easy for us to start to see why, once it goes from that simple annoyance to that actual disagreement, to the point where the anger sets in, no wonder we stop. It's like we don't want to harm anybody, but we are feeling very compromised. It's no wonder that we become defensive and we work so hard to avoid conflict, especially females. And then also, especially the orange and green personalities in my personality world, whether they're male or female, they will go beyond avoiding conflict to the point where they'll actually suppress their emotions inside just because they don't want to perpetuate a conflict situation. And when we go into the conflict, what we get is we get an entire myriad of emotions. And then we actually, once those emotions are triggered, we actually go in and we start tapping into what I call our psychological coffers. And now we get those old replays of all those tapes, either in our relationship or when we were in our childhood, that comes back and it says, see, here it is again. It always seems to come up. Are you ever going to learn? Why are you doing this? Why do you just walk away? Why do you, and that why just triggers more and more of the emotionalism that's around the conflict. And what we do is we actually start spinning emotionally, and then we're not able to move forward. We're not able to say things articulate the way we need to. That was a Freudian there on that word, wasn't it? To be able to express ourselves, and we find ourselves just plain frustrated. So when we go in and we look at conflict, there really is an importance in a relationship that we start to find tools that we can help build those bridges when conflict occurs. Those tools don't include not saying anything. It includes finding ways to be able to resolve the conflict where both people get to say what they need to and both people feel like they're being heard. If not, what's going to happen is people are going to stop talking, and then the relationship is going to wither and die. Basically, conflict boils down to this power struggle, meaning that one of us is trying to get the other one to see our way of thinking and to be able to do the things we want them to do. Has a lot to do with the expectations based on our personality. If you're the same personality, rarely do you have conflict in those situations that most people do when they're opposite. opposite of personalities. In the case of giving in just to end conflict, the results is we end up with hurt feelings that again become deep emotional wounds. And now those are stored in our psychological coffers. And as a result, it builds up and builds up and builds up. And we're kind of like that emotional pot that's boiling on the back burner. It bubbles to the surface over and over again. And our ability to be able to either be logical or to be able to discuss differences in a way that has a semblance of order to it. I know that sounds kind of cold, but sometimes that's what it needs. But to be able to discuss things without it setting off those triggers. Otherwise, what we do is it will go in, builds up inside of us, and then it reaches a point that we wake up one day and we basically say, you know what, I don't want to do this anymore. Now, sometimes that certainly has a lot of merit, but other times it's really may not really have reached that point. It just needs to be talked about. And if you're in a situation where there's personality differences, you see things different. And really, I always say to people, people aren't trying to make our life miserable. We believe that. We really do. But the reality of it is that it just boils down in my world of personality in neurology that they're really not trying to make your life miserable. They just see things different than you do. And if you can start to even recognize and accept that part of it, when those conflict triggers get, you know, set off, then what you can do is take a deep breath, step back, and you can basically ask yourself, it's a personality difference. What do I need to do? Is it something, choose your battles? Is this something that is really worth going in and triggering a full-blown conflict? Or should I wait for another time where things kind of cool off and then I'm going to surface it? So again, we do in the conflict situation have a lot of different options. When it comes to warning signs within personality color that lets you know that there's really something that the person is feeling conflicted about, or they feel like they've been compromised in any way, I want to share those with you by personality color, because the behavior that's associated with conflict, as with personality, very observable and very predictable. So a red personality, the very first thing they do when they get in a conflict situation is they become aggressive. They're antagonistic. They become extremely impatient. They're reactive. They are literally emotionally volatile, hot-tempered, as some people will say. The nice part of that is, as strange as it may sound, is they get things off their chest and then they're ready to move on. They also can be demanding and they have an unwillingness to cooperate. An orange personality basically takes that passive-aggressive role. They withdraw. They become moody. They go into avoidance. They become silence, thinking that that may be able to capture the attention of their partner or spouse, and the fact that they're not talking to them. Maybe they'll get a clue to say to them, is there something wrong? And then the orange can say something. They're emotionally reactive, but they also get that aggressive part, meaning that those emotions that are stuffed around conflict inside of them builds up and builds up and builds up. And it takes a while for that to do that. But when it does, it's just this outburst of emotionalism, and this sometimes there's screaming and there's a tirade that's associated, which is so un-orange. So what it does is it just says to the people around them, stop, back off, give them the space they need. But more importantly, don't avoid them, don't ignore them, but ask them what's wrong, and then be willing to take the time to listen to what they have to say. Because if you don't, and you initiate that you're going to listen and you don't, then the orange is going to stuff that. And then again, it builds up and builds up. The yellow personality becomes sarcastic, becomes indifferent, again, silent, curt, very short. I mean, or they give you that famous look, as all yellows do, like you know that obviously you've done something wrong. They can be abrasive. They're extremely critical. They can be very judgmental. They can be nitpicky. Any little thing can set them off, and then it just feels like they're just riding you and riding you and riding you. And one of the ways to be able to deal with that is to basically say to them, stop, this is not acceptable behavior. Stop riding my back. Stop being critical. And what that'll do is it stops the yellow in their track and it says, okay, the yellow goes, well, obviously there's a problem. And then of course they go into solving the problem. The green personality again withdraws, but they also, when they withdraw, they cry. And this is both male and female. When that green hits that proverbial brick wall around conflict, they're going to cry. And what they're going to do, they're going to be temperamental. Their voice goes up about 5 octaves, and the word that spews from their mouth that's 4-letter is not love. And when that 4-letter word comes out, that is everybody's indicator. Back away slowly. That means that they've reached the place where they are just absolutely to a point where they cannot deal with the situation, deal with you, deal with emotions. They need some breathing room. They become submissive. And then most important for a green, and it's very predictable with a green, is they will actually become very much in the avoidance mode. And unlike the orange that avoids, meaning that they'll just kind of give you that ignoring or cold shoulder, the green will literally drop out of your life or back away to the point where they don't want to engage with you at all. And one of the things about the green personality is they're very happy people. They're very cheerleading people. They're personalities that really are the kind of Johnny Appleseeds, the Pied Pipers. And once you have greens in your life, whether they're your children or your spouse or friends, anytime you don't have a green in your life the way that they are, there's this big hole, not only in your heart, but in your life. So when the green goes into that avoidance mode, the best thing you can do is you need to go in, ask them what's going on, and then be able to go in and allow them to be able to talk again about their emotions. Both the orange and the green, the thing that irritates them the most in a relationship around conflict is they don't feel like they're being heard. So very important for us to be able to honor those aspects of who each of the personality colors are. And again, looking for that predictable behavior, because what we'll be able to do is we will be able to go in and see those warning signs. And we know at that point in time, there's a trigger. And that trigger needs to be dealt with in a very calm, collected way at that time. Initiate the conversation, initiate the situation that will create the conversation. If you can't get them to actually talk, maybe you need to go for a walk together. Maybe you need to go have dinner together. Just take them out of the situation that's creating that. What you'll find is your relationship will be able to weather so many of the other things that challenge it. And it'll keep those lines of communication open. So when you have other challenges as a couple, you'll be able to discuss them in a way that both people, again, feeling like they're being heard, and then you can find some resolution. The number one reason that relationships fail is we stop talking. So I'm going to continue to talk about conflict in the second segment of the show, but what I'd like to do is jump in right now. My lines are full, so let's take Mia from Seattle. Hi, sweetie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very good. How can I help you?
Well, I've had an issue with my kind of bladder area for a number of years now. It's gotten better, and I'm not sure what that's exactly due to, but it's never quite gone away.
Yes.
So I was wondering if you had any insight on that.
I do. So let me just, we're going to do a slight anatomy 101 and give you kind of an idea of the bladder itself. It literally is shaped like a big rubber balloon. It has a lot of elasticity for the shape. It's like a bowl where the urethra actually comes out to be able to eliminate, the waste and the urine and so forth and the waste in it. In the lower part of that bowl, kind of at the base and then kind of cups around to the side of the bowl, it's a perfect environment for bacteria to be able to collect. That bacteria can be E. coli, but it can also be bacteria that's associated with a yeast infection such as Candida. And when the bladder becomes acidic, which it is by nature, becomes really the pH changes, it becomes very acidic, then what happens is it creates this perfect environment for any bacteria to be able to collect in those areas. There's a couple of things that can be done. Most people, if they have bladder infections, will go to cranberry juice. However, cranberry juice has sugar in it or some form of sweetener that is very acidic. And actually, while it helps from the standpoint of removing some of the bacteria, it actually feeds other bacteria. So, sweetie, there's a product, and I normally don't do product recommendations, but this one, when I work with OBGYNs across the country, will always say chronic bladder infections, what you want to do is you want to use D, it's the letter D, as in David, D mannose, M-A-N-N-O-S-E. And D-mannose is the most concentrated form of the cranberry itself, high in alkaline, and it creates this kind of coating in the bladder itself, so then the bacteria can't stick to it and it can't feed on it, and then that's what causes the inflammation. So having said all that, one of the things when I pick up, sweetie, is that candida is an ongoing issue for you. And one of the things is your body seems to be acidic. The foods that you're eating, the way you're combining them, creates this acidity. Your menses cycle, when you get into that ovulation stage, actually creates an acidic chain reaction. So it's almost in that setup as far as even the menses or around the hormones and everything. You've got that. Then I've got the candida. So there's a couple of things that you can do. Is that there's a product called Refresh, and you can buy it over the counter at a drugstore. What it does is you can use it vaginally, and it actually creates an alkaline environment in the cervical area of the body itself, and then also up into the uterus area, and that can keep the candida from basically attaching to some of the discharge that we as women have. And what occurs is anytime there's that discharge, sweetie, it comes in, and in the way that we basically take care of ourselves after going to the bathroom is it actually can cause that candida to migrate into that urethra, and then it can migrate into the bladder. So there's one of the couple things is that I'll go first of all, the candida is when you eat food, sweetie, you want to eat alkaline based foods. If you're going to do meat, you will want to offset that with maybe two or three different kind of vegetables. Sweet potato, brown rice is alkaline. There's some dietary changes that you can use. You also could go to drinking aloe water, or aloe juice as it's called. It doesn't taste bad, but that is high in alkaline. That's very good for the kidneys. It will help keep your kidneys clean and as a result be able to keep the bladder clean. There's another thing that you can do is that with this Refresh, you can look at something around using something that could be done vaginally. Talk to your OBGYN if you would like to see what it is, because you seem to be highly susceptible to bladder infections prior to the menses and then after the menses. So it may be that we've got something that's actually in the discharge itself in the menses cycle that is causing that. So you might want to look at those things as well. So I'm going to go a different direction with you now, honey. You know what? I touch you. You are a very, very happy person inside. But something in the last 2 years, and it may have started earlier than that, I have some sadness in there, sweetie. I can touch it. And it's not about psychological therapy for a long time. It's just, it feels like you've put your dreams on hold, that everybody else's kind of needs have come to the forefront. And I have this wonderful little child inside that wants to follow her dreams, that wants to not be disappointed with life and wants to be able to go back and experience life and have some carefreeness about her. What I might encourage you to do is two things is that you might want to go and take some time to think about, what do you like doing? What puts that smile on your face? What has some fun to it that puts you back in touch with yourself? And it's almost like I want to say to you, you know, we just need a little bit of a time out, not for scolding, but time out. And I'd like to sit down with you, and I'd like to watch old Lucille Ball movies with you. the old tummy things. And I would like to just laugh, like the candy that goes down the conveyor belt, all the things that Lucy dealt with and everything. I would just like to be able to do that with you. And I can feel that laughter inside when I do that. So those are some things that you can do. The other aspect of it is that it feels like you've got almost a postpartum type of a depression that's happening that's chemical. Are you working with anyone, sweetie, around any kind of depression?
I have started seeing a therapist again, and she just recently mentioned the chemical part because I think it kind of runs in my family with my father.
It does.
And, I mean, part of that was kind of hard to hear because I don't really want to be like my father, but at the same time, you know, I've had this my whole life, this kind of overhanging sadness, and I'm so sensitive. I don't think I could take medication. I'm not really sure how to go about that.
Well, let's go in and if I may, I'm going to take it another step. And thank you for being so open to me, Mia, to be able to do this. Sweetie, with your father, this is a genetic predisposition for a chemistry imbalance that can cause the hypothalamus, the pituitary, the thyroid, and the ovaries to not really talk to each other the way they're designed. And what that can do is it can throw us into different mood swings. It can throw us into different food cravings. It's directly tied to the neurotransmitter serotonin. So what there is all we're saying is that, yes, there is this genetic predisposition for this biological chemical change in your body. Voila, that's it. You are not your father. I can tell you, personality-wise, oh, my gosh, you guys are so different as day and night.
Yeah.
So the thing is that, you know, not to speak poorly of your father, but he had a lot of struggle around depression. There was a lot of part of your dad that feels like it had this victim energy because he didn't know what he was dealing with. I can tell you, sweetie, to the very core I touch you, you are not a victim.
Yeah.
And that's a huge difference. So what you can do is that a lot of times with serotonin imbalances, you're going to want to be drawn to foods that are going to perpetuate or trigger candida. So what you can do, sweetie, is you can look at things that you can do from a dietary standpoint. I have a wonderful friend, Carolyn Sutherland, that's a medical intuitive. You can go to her website, carolynsutherland.com. She deals exquisitely with candida. Just check her out, not knowing that whether it'll work or not, but there's things you can do from supplement 5-HTP, SAMI. There's St. John's wort. If you were looking at that, you could work with a Chinese herb, Chinese medicine doctor working with herbs. Flower essence feel like they would do a lot for you. Essential oils would do a lot for you. It's just that and I have to say to you, honey, I don't feel this sadness all the time. It just kind of comes in waves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And those waves are tied to when your, you know, estrogen decides it's supposed to do its job, but it seems to be a little overreactive.
Yeah.
So when that occurs, that's exactly what starts this kind of dynamics. And again, with the foods and so forth on it. So one of the things that you can do is ask your therapist what you can do without medication. I will say, you know, that I can tell you that if I felt truly that you had the chemical predisposition to be chronically depressed, I would have to agree with your therapist that we would have to look at some form of medication, whether it's Wellbutrin or something that was a little more user-friendly. But because it's so cyclic with you, why don't you talk to the therapist about things that you can do when you start to feel this sadness coming on you, because that's how it feels to me. What can I do? What should I look for? You know, should I maybe go for a walk? What can I do from a behavioral modification standpoint that can get me outdoors? Maybe we need to, you know, buy all the I Love Lucy movies or do something like that, that you can go in. Laughter is a wonderful serotonin increaser. It makes the body feel good. So those are some things you can do without having to go on medication.
Okay. I also get anxious quite a bit. Does it kind of go hand in hand with that?
It does.
The chemical part, because I've had that for maybe, well, I think I've always had it on some smaller level in my life, but it comes and goes with the severity of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Both connected.
Okay.
So where you go is you feel to me you're a heart person. We need to find things that make your heart smile. And we need to do things, little things. They don't have to be big lifestyle changes. Little things that we can do, that you can do, that are going to put those little moments of happiness back in your life so you can recognize them. You remember what it feels like. And then what you can do is when that sadness maybe starts creeping in or some of these other triggers that you have that are associated with it, then what you can do is you can say, oh, I need to go to my happy place. And then you can go and you can do those things. That really, psychologically, sweetie, from a chemical standpoint, can literally turn things around.
Okay.
So those are some things that you can do. So again, from the bladder standpoint, why don't you, you know, maybe a health food store, you can go online with D-Manos. Please, I always say to people, do some research. You know, one size doesn't fit all. Be sure that it's something that you feel comfortable with. And then the other thing is you might want to try that other product with Replenish, because that will also, be able to come in and to, it's Refresh, that will be able to come in and it can actually change the pH in the uterine lining. That can even help you with your menses cycle, sweetie.
And is that related? In the last 2 years, I've had BV and it's been really hard to get rid of. Is this kind of the whole package?
It is.
Okay. So maybe that would help this as well.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And I have tried the Manos, and that actually was the one thing that did help it. I was just worried because it keeps coming back. But I do respond to that. So
good. Very, very good. So it keeps coming back. Put yourself on a calendar. When does it come back? You're very predictable. Put it on a calendar. See when it comes back. Ask your therapist to work with you with some behavioral modification, maybe some affirmations, some different ways to work with things. And then when you start feeling these different things or you notice them in your body, then you could go that direction. And, that really, really does a lot of good in restoring our own comfortableness in our own skin.
Okay.
And, so the great gift that your therapist gave you is to told you that it's genetic. Because what she was saying basically is, you know what? There is a predisposition. So let's move beyond that and work with it. A lot of times I find as a medical intuitive that if people don't realize there's a genetic link, then they keep trying to figure out what the heck they're doing wrong all the time and why they can't do it. Once they know it's genetic, then it's like, oh, okay, then it's just going to be an ongoing thing, but I can gain on it and I can win.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I do believe that, sweetie.
Okay.
well, good. And thank you for calling me. It was really a pleasure to talk to you. So light and love to you, sweetie. Okay, what I'm going to do is let me go ahead and jump into a commercial break, a very short one. I'm going to be back and talk more about conflict in your health and what we can do to deal with some of those conflict issues. Stay tuned.
Would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
ContactTalkRadio.com.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you, so next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the host and for others.
Well, welcome back and thanks for joining me today. If you are just joining me, I'm talking about conflict and the role our personality plays in increasing the differences between us. Even when I find that personalities that are the same personality, such as my husband Bruce and I, we debate, we discuss, other people may see it as arguing. We really don't see it that way at all. There is still that little underlying differences of opinion. But what do we do when the universe pairs us with somebody that in personality is absolutely opposite of who we are? So that's what I've been talking about throughout this morning's segment, the first segment. And what I'm going to be doing is continuing to talk about that and a little bit about how conflict can actually create illness in the body. But again, it's not those little minor skirmishes that we have. It really has to do with that predictable, consistent, what I call chronic conflict, and how to be able to read your body to know whether that's taking a toll on it. I'm also taking your calls. So if you have a call for me about your health or about relationship, you can call me at 877-230-3062. Also wanted to remind you that I've got a June free Your Health teleclass that's coming up on June 24th. It's 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. The topic of this month is back pain. I just had one in May that was on headaches. In fact, that audio download is now available for purchase, as is the PDF, which is a printable reference source for you to be able to go back and look at illness. So what I'm going to be doing in June is I'm going to be talking about back pain and a lot of the different aspects of back pain. There are many different forms of it. There are many different triggers for it. So I'm going to be talking about that. I'll also be talking about some of the hidden psychological meanings behind them, how they look in the energy body, and how they actually map in the chakra system. Back pain doesn't only have to do with injury or posture or ergonomics. So I'm going to be sharing all of that. The teleclass is 60 minutes in length. And then what I'm going to be doing, as I do after every one of my Your Health teleclasses, I actually spend 20 to 30 minutes on the line answering questions, kind of like what I'm doing on my radio show today. So again, that's June 24th, 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. It is free. If you would like to sign up for it, please go to my website, www.ritberger.com. Sign up for it. You'll get a confirmation that'll have the call-in number and your participant access code. And then we'll actually get to be online with each other and I'll share the information and then I'll be answering questions. Again, it's free. So if you have a friend or a loved one or a family member, whatever it may be, or a business associate that's dealing from back pain and you think that it may be something they would be interested in listening to, I would sure love to have them on the call. Also, if you are interested in purchasing the PDF on headaches, and I have insomnia and depression and autism and arthritis, I have about 15 different topics that I've actually done shows on that all, again, have audio and PDF downloads. In fact, my insomnia PDF that I did on it was 26 pages, so a lot of information. You can purchase those online, www.ritberger.com. Click on the icon for teleclass archive. Teleclass products. I had to think about that. And then what it'll do is it'll take you into the page. You can see the listing and then click on it. All relationships, no matter how much two people love each other, are bound to have some amount of conflict. That's what I was sharing with two yellows such as Bruce and I. Not everybody's going to see eye to eye. And that's just a natural part of our own individuality, but also part of the process of our relationships actually growing as we evolve over the course of time. You know, you spend 64 years together like my mother and dad, there's going to be times that you're going to have conflict. It's just an evolutionary process, personal growth trying to merge into growth of the relationship. So when you think of conflict, think of it as kind of a growth process, but it isn't the kind of conflict where, again, we stop talking, where we really hold in those emotions. When we start holding in our emotions, then what we do is now we can start impacting the quality of our health. And what that means is that those buried emotions start creating constant tension, stress. We have this frustration, maybe this sadness, this inner angst, this resentment, this anger that's really just kind of boiling inside. And one part of the thing, the way it will, is it'll come to the surface. And what I find consistently with chronic conflict is that it always shows up in the throat, the mouth, and the gum area. As a medical intuitive, I see the underlying reason for conflict surfacing in this area is because we're suppressing how we're feeling. Now, that doesn't mean we have to call people names or that we have to be very hurtful in the way that we say the things we do. If we hit that proverbial brick wall, we're going to. But what we can do is we can let off steam, and that means that we can say to someone, that hurt my feelings. That makes me angry. And we can say that, and whether they hear us or not, they will eventually hear us. We have to have that relief valve to be able to say that, so then we don't feel like it's festering and building inside. If we're afraid that we can't say anything and we keep suppressing the emotions, not only does it affect the mouth and the gum and the teeth part of it, it actually migrates down into the shoulders. And now your shoulders are up around your ears trying to basically protect you. Your soul is saying, okay, don't take on anymore. You can't take on any more conflict. You can't carry the burdens anymore. Everything is just building up on you. That's neck tissue. Tension in my particular area. And what it does is it builds up in the neck, it builds up in the shoulder, and it creates what I call this energetic choker, which can actually lead to a coughing. A lot of people that have chronic stress issues are always trying to clear their throat. I've even seen it manifest into thyroid disorders. TMJ is a very much an indicator that something inside needs to be said, as again, the teeth and the gum issues. Another place that I find chronic conflict is that it weakens the immune system. It's like we turn on ourselves. We know we need to say something, but because we don't, we say things negative to ourselves, like, you should have said that. What's wrong with you? Are you ever going to say anything? You know, blah, 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 what I call the blah, blah, blah syndrome. When we do that, we turn on ourselves and we actually weaken our immune system, and our immune system is what protects our body from all of the internal and the external invaders that could cause it to do harm. So it's very important for us to sweet talk ourselves, as I say, and to put that, you know, those loving words like I love myself, I love myself, I love myself in the spleen itself, and, you know, that fake it till you make it. You may not love yourself all the time, but tell yourself that, and, you know, one day you're going to wake up and you'll actually start to believe it. So when we go in and we have that negative self-talk around conflict, then what we do is, and negative self-talk could be, why am I staying? Why am I staying? Why am I staying? The why word continually triggers that chemical reaction that's tied to the conflict itself. If our immune system becomes weakened, our liver becomes weakened, and a lot of times I see people who are in a chronic conflict situation dealing with things as anemia, they get a lot of common colds and viruses, flu, chronic fatigue, chronic muscle pain, and they even have digestive issues. So those are certainly all of the best things that we can do to not, indicators to not hold the anger inside. The cliche, get it off your chest, actually has a lot of positive aspects to it. The first is it's going to help you breathe, and the second is going to help your heart get rid of all that negative energy that we tend to store in it. Don't let a conflict or a relationship actually break your heart. Oh, I have to take a deep breath with that, because I did a reading the other day on a person who was experiencing a lot of heart issues. And every time I touched this person, I kept thinking, oh my gosh, this is a broken heart. This is a broken heart. But I didn't want to say it's a broken heart because of the fact that it would create even more psychological implications. I just said to him, I can pick up a lot of sadness. I can pick up a lot of anger inside of you. What can we do to be able to get rid of that? It's kind of like that beautiful soul Mia from Seattle, my first caller, is that we have to look for ways to be able to get that sadness, get those things off our chest, to be able to not have them energetically hold into our heart. When you don't see eye to eye with your partner, here's some things you can do from a personality standpoint. For a red, let them talk. Don't interrupt them. That really irritates them. Then when they're done, and then you can say to them, are you done? When they stop, if they say yes, then you say to them, okay, it's my turn to talk, and please don't interrupt me. Actually, they can really deal with that. I know some personalities think that's difficult, but they can really deal with that. For an orange, ask them what they're feeling and actively listen. Expect the conversation to be emotional, and when they're finished, then respond. If they cry, then just let them cry. Don't try to fix their problem. They're just expressing emotions. For the yellow, don't attack them personally. don't deal with their issues and problems. All they want is a sounding board. They want to just hear themselves talk. They're going to manage their emotions, yet the more they manage them, the more emotional they get, the less inclined they're going to stay involved, not only in their relationship, but stay involved in what's happening in their own world. So yellows, when they get into a conflict situation, pull in. I call it caving in. They go inside. They hold things inside, not because they're suppressing their emotions. They're just trying to figure out what they are, first of all. And second of all, how can they solve this problem to be able to not have it reoccur? They don't want to rehash the old situations, and they don't want to have to relive them. For the green, listen and be sensitive. What that means is don't be condescending. Greens are highly developed, intuitive beings, and they can smell when somebody's being condescending a mile away. Don't back them into a corner where they feel like they have to defend themselves. If they do, and they start getting aggressive, listen for that magical four-letter word that is not love. Then what it is back away. If they cry, let them cry. If they clam up and they give you the silence treatment, then what you want to do is to give them a little bit of space and say, obviously I've hurt your feelings. It appears that you need some space. Can we talk now? If they just want to walk away with you and they do that, whatever hand that they do, then what you want to do is you want to leave them to the space and then you want to come back and revisit it. Do not let it lie. Don't be aggressive about it. Give them the space. They're just trying to collect themselves emotionally and chemically, but it's very, very important to be able to keep the lines of communication open with all of the colors. And again, as you can see from the way I talked about how to deal with the differences and conflicts, you can see we're not all the same eye to eye. Okay, let me jump in. I've got time for at least one more call, maybe two. Hi, Sarah from California. Hi, sweetie. How can I help you?
Hi there. You know, I have some interesting two things that I didn't think were related, but I'm wondering if they are, actually, and it's kind of a mystery to me, so I wanted to share them with you.
Okay.
So when I exercise, half of my face gets red from the exertion, but the other half doesn't, and it's like it's like a line right down the middle. It's very weird, and it's been brought to my attention from friends, you know, who are exercising with me. And just recently, it's brought to my attention that on the same side, my left side of my face, my pupil doesn't dilate as much as the other side.
Mm-hmm. Okay, they are connected, sweetie. So there's a couple of things that you can do.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things is that you could go, and I'm going to give you the alternative first, is that you could go in and you could work with an acupuncturist to be able to get the chi flowing the way that it needs to. You could also do some cranial sacral work. I can find that your jaw on your right side feels like it's off of the hinge a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That isn't necessarily creating this redness that goes down the center of the face. But what it's doing is the cranial nerves are not being seated the way they need to. So it's causing an overreaction in the third chakra, the adrenals. Your body is going into more of a fight or flight than it should just from the exercise. There's a more severe chemical change that is occurring. You can do that. You can also go in and speak to a chiropractor. You will want to work with someone that does non-force chiropractic, someone that can help work with you from a muscle standpoint, to be able to get the spine straight where it needs to. You might also want to talk to a physical therapist about some of the indicators. My sense is the chiropractor could do a lot of work, helpfulness for you. The other thing is that you would, you might, are you seeing a doctor about this, hon?
No, I just went to see an acupuncturist yesterday. And,
okay.
She had mentioned Bell's palsy, and I got really freaked out and nervous. So I just wanted to.
Okay. Well, what I need to do is because of who I am, I need to suggest to you that what you do is you talk to a doctor. Mm-hmm. And the main reason for that is that because of exercising, a lot of times the body can just become overstimulated, and it can create a chemical imbalance that can cause some of the things that you're talking about. I think the chiropractor and the acupuncturist can help you with the nerve sensation that mm-hmm. you're having, this kind of a unusualness that you're thinking, that you're talking about. The other part of it is that we want to go in and just talk to a doctor and see, you know, check your cardiac, under stress and everything. I don't think there's a problem, sweetie, but because of the way that it is occurring, mm-hmm. I would be remiss if I didn't say to you, go to a doctor, talk to a doctor, ask your questions, get your information. More than anything else, Sarah, it will quell this anxiety that you've got inside, honey, that's kind of keeping you like this little ever-ready bunny where you can't quite get your answers. You're not quite sure what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's unusual enough, you can't necessarily Google what it is.
Right.
Doctors, you know, we may have a lot of our own personal feelings around them, but the bottom line of it is they are a wealth of information of what things we can look at and what we can do.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the way that your body is and everything, I just feel like the cardiac aspect under stress needs to be looked at, not because of anything wrong, but just because your body doesn't feel like it's oxygenating the way that it needs to.
Yeah.
It feels like it's just holding maybe too much carbon dioxide. It's just got too much in it, and that's what makes me want to have you go and talk to a doctor. The other thing is, sweetie, I go in, and very honestly, I can pick up a little slight heart murmur. It's something you've had as a long time as a little girl. Nothing's going to be done about it, but it may be that the exercising and over the course of time and exercising as diligently as you are, said very politically correct, meaning you do exercise a lot, which is good for the body in some ways, could be causing this to just not be able to get the oxygen and the blood flow and a few of the other things. I'm not concerned, but I would be remiss if I didn't say, I didn't suggest you go that route and just get your information.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
so,
and just like a general health doctor or any kind
of... You could, or you know, I just popped in. You might be worthwhile going and seeing an osteopath. Because, you know, they're well-versed in the spine. They have wonderful medical background behind them. They really do weave that medical aspect with the physical aspect with it. And they may be able to offer you even a more holistic picture from the standpoint of being able to suggest to you that maybe these are the different areas you go. And maybe even the osteopath will be able to you do some adjustments or do some suggestions that would help you too. I think the acupuncturist is going to be able to do really wonderful things for you. It'll help get that spine lined up, help get those cranial nerves. I think it's a great direction that you're headed.
Okay.
All right?
Okay, well, thank you very much.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Okay, I want to jump in. I've got only a couple of minutes, so I'm going to take Candy from New Hampshire. Hi, Candy. Hi, sweetie. I've only got a couple minutes, but I just feel like I just need to talk to you. How are you?
Great. Tell me what you can.
Okay. So we've got on my board that your mother has a dizzy spell. These are spells that she's been having, correct?
She said she's had very light ones, but this time it was really bad, and she did fall out of her truck on last New Year's Eve and hit the back of her head. We
yes.
didn't know if it was a small stroke or if there's some kind of trauma still locked there.
There is. The dizzy spells don't feel to me that they really are stroke related. But it does have to do with some of the neurological things. It has to do with the kind of the oxygenation aspect of your body. Has she gone to a doctor, honey? Is she working with the doctor?
She has an appointment tomorrow. I'm going
Good.
To take her.
Good girl. Hey, I love that. Okay, so what you want the doctor to do is when she's talking, because she's your mom, it's just kind of your mom, she just kind of forgets some of the things that might be concerning her. It's just how she is. What's concerning you? Talk to the doctor about what's concerning you. Ask your questions. You might want to write them down on a piece of paper and then be able to actually hand them to the doctor. The doctor can review it and the doctor can start looking at all of those things. It's a wonderful way to be able to give the doctor a laundry list to look at, and then the doctor can start connecting some of the dots. Again, it doesn't feel like it has the stroke aspect of it, but it does have enough of the pulmonary aspect, meaning it doesn't feel like she's getting enough oxygen. It feels like her spine is out of alignment. This injury on the back of the head is something that really needs to be just kind of checked out. So I think what you're doing, sweetie, is a real good way to go. So why don't you ask her what her concerns are, what questions she has, put them down on paper, and then you do the same and hand it to the doctor. Give the doctor a moment to think about it, and then that'll give the doctor the direction that it feels like a he. Is that accurate? Is she going to a male doctor?
Oh, I think so. Okay. What would you see?
What do I see? I think that she's still got some. She's still doing some healing in the back part of her brain, specifically in the cerebellum, specifically on the left side, which is the side that she jarred when she did the fall. I think that the brain itself is seated, but I don't think it's seated in a way that it's allowing her to be able to get that balance that she's looking for. I also see that she's she's not getting as much oxygen to the brain as she needs to. Is she actually a smoker?
No.
I'm picking up some.
She has a wood stove in her house that she's always using.
Yeah, and it just may be that she's having an inflammatory response. But I'm picking up the fall in the brain, but I'm also picking up the oxygenation from the lungs, the heart, to the brain itself. That's what I'm picking up. And those are the things that, you know, just again, write your symptoms down. I think that will help you.
Thank you so much, Carol.
You are so welcome. Go that route. And then what you can do is, once you do that, is I'll look for your name, sweetie. If you come back on my show or anything, I'll give Rebecca's got a heads up as she's listening to me as well. We'll get you back on air. And then I'd like to hear what they found out. Maybe I can offer some other directions to be able to go. But right now, I just think that it needs to be looked at medically.
Okay.
Thank you. You are most welcome. Yeah. Well, I want to thank all of you for joining me today and for listening and supporting my work in the show. You can join me again next week. I'm going to see you on the radio. Light and love. Have a great week. And have a great week. Thanks. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Carol Rideberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com. See you soon.